Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence. And know, Father, in your presence there is peace. And there is freedom. And there is healing. Father, help us to go in deeper. That we may have the peace, the freedom and the healing that you have promised us. That is found in your Son. Lord, we want to open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. Speak to us through your word. Not through the words of man, but through your eternal word. Lord, we pray not just for Logos, we pray for Rhema. That you will come and give us life. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I would like to give some feedback. Last weekend, as you know, most of you by now, there was a prayer meeting in Bloemfontein. Actually, just outside of Bloemfontein on an open field. Last weekend, when Angus Bucken called for a prayer meeting. Now, Angus was challenged by the crime and the violence in our country and by another farmer that actually contacted him and messaged him. The context being that a few weeks earlier, when Angus called the people together to prayer for rain. And we know the drought that was up in the north, and many said that it would take 5 years for it to be restored, and so many people came together to pray. Angus called a prayer meeting, and many farmers came and they prayed, and I mean, what was supposed to take 5 years was restored within a week or two. So we no longer have a drought. But Angus was challenged by this farmer. He said, but you know, our country is broken. There's so much violence and murder and rape and crime. Angus, call us together and we will pray for our country. I mean, we prayed for rain and God answered. Why not pray for our country? So that's exactly what happened. You know, we have a great country. South Africa is a great country. Many of you do not know that because you've never been outside of the country. Or maybe you've never lived outside of the country. I with my wife, were privileged to go across, not because we were discouraged or afraid or did not believe in the country. We were sent to another country. We were sent to a first world country in Europe. You know, where everybody thinks it's so much better on the other side. Well, we've been there for 7 years, and we're happy to be back, because this is a great country. You will not know what I talk about unless you live there. This is a great country. It's not healthy, yes, but it is a great country. So Angus called people together to pray for God to heal our land. And I think the motivation, I think we all well know, is found here in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, which reads, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. And I think for me that was so significant about what happened last weekend, was to see God's people come together in one place. I mean, that was very powerful, to see more than a million Christians come together in one place. Not because of a person, not because of a denomination, not because of a band, not because of anything except to pray. I mean, there was no division. There was no questions asked from which church are you from? What do you believe? Where do you? There wasn't anything like that. It was quite amazing to see a million people coming together, more than a million people coming together simply to pray. It was very powerful. It was very powerful. I have some pictures somewhere. There should be some photos. I think it's the next slide, is it not? Is it the last three slides? Maybe. There we go. There's Angus. Angus, and that's a million people. Now, if you look carefully, you'll see us there. Just. But anyway, we were there. That's a million people. There's another slide from the air. Andre was there also, but he stayed at the back. I mean, he thought the Holy Spirit comes from the back. It actually did. As a matter of fact, it actually did. While we were there, we were there in the front, and Andre was there at the back. But anyway, while we were there, Angus was sharing about another time that he was in Israel in the Dead Sea, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit and the wind and the power of the Holy Spirit. And while he was speaking, suddenly there came this such strong wind through the crowd and blew over the podium and his Bible, and everything was blown away by this mighty wind. And, you know, he was just sharing, and it didn't really make sense why he was sharing that in the line of what he was sharing. But anyway, he was sharing that, and while he finished that and he started to move on to his next point, we were here in the front of the million. All of a sudden, we hear the guys at the back starting to scream and go nuts. But at the back, we didn't kind of know what it was. But the more Angus was speaking, the more the people were talking and screaming and getting excited from the back. Now, you must understand, this is 1.4 kilometers. So the people at the back started to go crazy, and some of us started to stand up and look. You know, Angus is talking, but it's okay. But we just want to see what's going on behind here. Because something is happening and we don't know what it is. And then it was a wind that started at the back and moved through the crowd like this. And you just see umbrellas, hats, everything in the air going up in the air as this wind started to move through the crowd all the way over the stage and then gone. But anyway, so the Holy Spirit, Andre, did come from the back. So we should have stayed at the back. But anyway, it was quite powerful to be there and to experience. I think it made me think about the Israelites. They were about a million when they left Egypt, according to some. It was great to see a million people. It was great to see them leave, because we didn't come in all together. It was very well organized, I must say. This whole thing happened in 6 weeks. I mean, you don't see that happen. It was really God bringing together a million people. We all came in at different times, but we all left together. It was amazing to see that whole crowd move as one. It was quite powerful in many aspects. It was powerful to see a million people kneel down before God. Like a million people. More than a million people knelt down and committed their lives to God. That was powerful. That was powerful. But the question is, can one event change the nation? I mean, that many came with that expectation. I mean, Isaiah 66, verse 8 says, who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day? Or a nation be brought forth in a moment? I mean, can one event change a nation? In Genesis 18, we know when God made a promise to Abram in his old age that he will have a son. Sarah overheard that, and she you know, thought to herself, you know, that's not possible. My husband is old and I am also. And obviously God heard her. Yeah, in verse 13, and the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At the appointed time, I will return to you. According to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Or can one event change a nation? No. Only God can. It's not the event that's going to change this nation. It's God. And nothing is too hard for Him. The challenge is God is moved by prayer. I mean, God in His wisdom has chosen us humans to be the instruments of His redemption. God moves by prayer. I can't remember who said it, but it was Wigglesworth or somebody else that says, God does nothing except through prayer. Interesting statement. But nothing is too hard for God, yet God chose in His wisdom to use us. Those who were created in His image and His likeness, those He gave dominion and authority of, those He gave responsibility, and said, I want you to partake in My plan of redemption. He's chosen us. That was 2 Chronicles. I mean, it says, if My people, if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves, seek My face and pray, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Can one event change a nation? No, only God can, but God only moves through prayer. I mean, we see that in the life of Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus knew the will of the Father, yet He was a man of prayer. As it so eenvoudig is, soos God's will oor God's akker, then Jesus didn't need to pray, did He? I mean, yet Jesus had a lifestyle of prayer. I was very challenged by that. I mean, Jesus prayed before He did anything. He prayed before He picked the disciples. Why did He pray if it was already going to happen anyway? I mean, Jesus taught us to pray for God's will and God's kingdom. I mean, He had a lifestyle of prayer. Then He taught us to pray. He said, you know, this is how you ought to pray. Our Father that art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus was a man of prayer, praying the will of God. He taught us to pray the will of God. I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying. He said, Father, you know, not My will be done, but Your will be done. So Jesus prayed for the will of the Father. He taught us to pray for the will of the Father and for His kingdom to come. And you know what is so powerful? God has given us the gospel. I mean, if you think about it, God in His wisdom chose us humans, His children, those who have been redeemed back into the image, back into the authority and the dominion that He originally gave humanity. He said, listen, I've sent My Son to establish salvation, but I've given you the message and I want you to go and spread it. That's the Great Commission. Guys, I'm going back to the Father. I have done what I've called to do. I've finished the Father's will. I'm going back, but now I'm sending you to continue until I return. So I want you to take the gospel, and I want you to go to all the world, all the nations, and I want you to preach the gospel, and I want you to make disciples, and I want you to baptize them, and I want you to teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. It is so powerful. So God has chosen in his wisdom to make us partakers of his redemptions. You know why? Because he wants us to share in the glory of the fulfillment of it. You know, have you ever seen... maybe it's not a good example, but you know what? When the Springboks win, we celebrate, don't we? Yeah. Now imagine how the Springboks celebrate when they win. I mean, we thought about that. Yeah, it's been a while. But still, you know, if you're partakers of it, you know. So if you were there with your green jersey at the stadium, when, or at home, supporting them, their celebration is far greater than a guy like me that don't watch rugby. It's like, oh, the Springboks are playing. Did we win? Didn't we win? Oh, we won. Woo-hoo. We lost. Oh, shame. Sorry, I don't watch rugby anymore. Don't leave the church because of that. But you know what? I'm using this as an example for those who do watch rugby, because you celebrate far more when the Springboks win than I do. Because you participate, don't you? So that's the reason why God, I think, part of the reason why in his wisdom he's given us that, not just because that's why we were created, and that's why he's given us dominion. It's our position. He's given us the opportunity to participate in it so that we can celebrate in the fulfillment of it. So God in his wisdom, the point I'm trying to make is he has a will and he has a purpose, but he has given us the responsibility and the privilege to be partakers in the accomplishment of redemption. He's given us the gospel and he says, I want you to share it and make disciples. The question is not, can one event change our nation? The question is rather, can prayer change our nation? This is the question that we as Christians need to answer. The question is not, can one event change the nation? The question is, can prayer change this nation? Because God says, if we pray, we humble ourselves, we seek his face, we turn from our wicked ways and we pray, he says, then I will hear and I will heal your land. So the question is, can prayer change this nation? Because it's not the event. We know it's God that changed it, but is God going to respond to an event or is he going to respond to prayer? Because if you look at the scriptures, it is the prayer. Yes, you know what was so powerful about last weekend? There was not 120 in one accord. There was not just two or three gathered in his name. I mean, there was more than 1 million. More than 1 million. In one place, in one accord, to seek his face and to pray for God to heal our land. My question is it the event or is it the prayer? Can God heal this nation through prayer? The next question we need to ask ourselves is, do we believe that? I mean, do you believe that through prayer, God will move? As Christians, I think this is a very important question. I mean, if we would all pray, not just the 1 point something million, but all the Christians that could not make it, if we were all to decide to humble ourselves to seek His face, pray and turn from our wicked ways. Would God heal our hand? Do we believe that? I want us to look at a video clip. I always use it in Bible school, talking about faith. I mean, do we believe that through prayer, things can change? Do you believe? My question is, do you believe that prayer is powerful, that prayer moves God, that prayer, God responds to prayer? Do you believe? I have this little clip that speaks about faith. It's called Faith on a Wire. There we go. The sound is good. Right. You only need to read. I hope you can read from behind. So my question is, do you believe that through prayer we can change this nation? Well, then get in. I mean, who are we? Are we part of the crowd that believes that this guy can do it? Because most Christians, if you ask them about the power of prayer, they would say, yes, we believe. My question this morning is, are you willing to get in the wheelbarrow? And you know what's the challenging thing is? There's no risk in it. It's not a tightrope over the Niagara Falls. Just, do you believe it? And are you willing to humble yourself and to seek His face? I mean, if it's true that God can heal this country and God is able to do this, and that prayer is a catalyst for change in this nation, if it is true, are you willing to pray? What kind of faith in prayer do we have? That of the crowd of that who are participating. I mean, 1 John 5, verse 14 to 15, the Word of God says, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. I was really challenged last week about this. I also believe in prayer. But why am I not praying more? I mean, we have churches full of Christians, but why aren't we coming together more? Why, if we have tried so many times to have prayer meetings, is there always the faithful 10, 15, 20 people coming? I mean, we have 400 adults coming to this church. You know, 20 people out of 400 isn't a lot. What do we really believe in prayer? I mean, Jesus tells that parable of the unrighteous judge, this widow that comes to Him and asks Him for something. And the judge doesn't want to give her an audience. He doesn't even want to listen to her. But she persistently continues knock at this judge's door throughout the day, throughout the night, and finally this judge, going off his mind about this nagging widow that keeps on knocking at his door, pleading for an audience, said, you know what, I will get out of my bed and listen to her, lest she drives me crazy. And Jesus said, likewise, you also pray continually to your Father who loves you. You know, sometimes we pray and we don't immediately see the result, or we don't see the result that we want. And somehow it discourages us because we have so little endurance. But God calls us to pray. And one thing that I have been challenged with is this concept that if that is true, then we should pray. I mean, if we believe it. And it doesn't matter whether your faith is big or your faith is small. It doesn't matter. You know what? I love teaching biblical faith, and one of the things that I always teach is that where Jesus said, you know what, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved. You know, sometimes as charismatics, we have faith in faith. We think the size of our faith produces anything, so we really must have big faith, and the bigger faith you have, the more results you have. And so we put a lot of faith in faith. You know, it's like praying for something and it didn't happen, and a brother or sister comes to you and says, you know what, the reason it didn't happen is because you don't have enough faith. Have you heard that before? It's like, hallelujah. But Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you know how big a mustard seed is? It's this big. He said, you can say to this mountain. So in the charismatic world, we sometimes think the reason the mountain doesn't move is because our faith is too small. And your faith must somehow increase until it gets the size of the mountain, and then you can speak to the mountain. Jesus says, there's nothing to do with that. Your faith doesn't have to be the size of the challenge that you're facing. You don't have to have big faith to pray for God to change this nation. You must just have some measure of faith to pitch at a prayer meeting, or to actually take at least 5 minutes of your day and ask God for this nation. I mean, 5 minutes is a mustard seed, but I can tell you with that 5 minutes, if all the Christians in this country would pray for 5 minutes every day for this nation. But we don't. We pray about all kinds of other things, our needs, our concerns, our fear, and there's a place for that. But what I've really been challenged by is this in your faith in prayer and God's invitation that if my people who are called by my name would just pray, seek my face, humble themselves, turn from their way, I will heal their hand. So are we willing? irrespective of the size of your faith, are you willing to exercise the little bit of faith that you have in prayer? Are you willing to exercise that? I think the other question is do we really want to do something about it? I mean, the one challenge is, do we actually believe in prayer? And what kind of faith do we have in prayer? But the other question I think we need to ask ourselves is, do we really want to do something about it? I mean, if there was only one poor person in Hermanus, if there was only one beggar in Hermanus, and all of us have more than enough to feed ourselves and our children, all of us, and there's just one beggar, we all have the capacity to help. The question is, do we want to? Because many times it's not the question is whether we're able to, is whether we want to. Now, do we have the resources within our church, in our congregation, to change the social economic problems, the crime, the violence, the hopelessness in this town? No, we don't. We don't have the material capacity to do that, but we have the spiritual. All the churches together, if we start to pray together, we have the capacity to change this town. The question is, do we really want to? Because if I have 10 bucks in my pocket, do I have the capacity to give the beggar 10 bucks? Yes. But the bigger question is, do I want to? So the challenge for me is, do we really want to change this nation? Because we're quick to criticize it. But are we actually believing God's word when he says, but ask me of the nations and I'll give it to you. Just ask me. Are we willing to persistently seek his face, humble ourselves until it happens? Because God's will is for this country to be saved. So we don't need to figure that out. The question is, are we willing to actually get in the wheelbarrow? Now, if we do have faith, whether small or big, and you are willing to do something with that faith, I think we can heal this nation. We can heal this land. If you want a better nation for your children and your grandchildren, this generation has the capacity to change this nation through prayer. I mean, Jesus said, I've given you, in Matthew 16, I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I mean, we have the capacity. We have the 10 bucks. Are you willing to exercise your faith, no matter how big or small? Maybe it's small, that's fine. Jesus says, if it's as small as a mustard seed. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, the more we pray, the more we grow. I mean, prayer is something powerful, and the Word of God encourages us to do that, because you will even grow. That little bit of faith that you have, if you exercise it through faith, and if you exercise your faith through prayer, it will grow. God in His wisdom has chosen us, is to use us, His children, His people, a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, to be light and salt in this world, to be the carriers of reconciliation and blessing. You know, so what did change? What did change last weekend? You know, on the Friday, we prayed on the Saturday, and I was sitting that Monday, coming back, that Monday, I was sitting with my oldest in the TV room, She was lying on my lap and I was thinking about this. So what did change? I mean, I've been there and I've been part of this amazing experience. But what did actually change? What actually happened there? What changed in our nation? I mean, we went there to pray for change, but what did actually change? And I was thinking back and and all of a sudden God just gave me a revelation, if I might call it that. But on Friday, before the Saturday, there was an empty field in die Vrystaat, a plat land. There was nothing on it. It was an empty field outside of Bloemfontein. Friday, there was nothing on that field. Saturday, there were more than 1 million people on that same field. Friday, there was nothing. Saturday, there was more than 1 million Christians praying. Now, that is a huge harvest. I mean, more than 1 million people knelt before God, humbled themselves, and committed their lives to God. That there was a huge crop there. Within a day, within a single day, from nothing to more than 1 million kneeling before God, there was a huge crop. On Sunday, there was nothing again. On Sunday, that field was empty. That crop was harvested. Ek is 'n boer, ek kom van 'n plaas af, okay? I think like this. Friday, there was nothing. Saturday, there was a miracle. There was 1 million people. Sunday, there was nothing again. Friday, no crop. Saturday, crop. Sunday, nothing. In other words, the crop was harvested. It was harvested. Some of us went there with an expectation for bread. We were thinking, we're going to have something tangible from this harvest. There's going to be something. And on Sunday, there was nothing. And I was asked myself, what happened to that harvest? Well, I can tell you what happened to that harvest. It spread all over this nation. It spread all over. It wasn't bread, it was seed. This harvest wasn't bread, it was seed. And that seed was sown throughout this nation. Now, if that seed would produce 30, 60, or 100-fold, the next time we come together, the Free State will be too small. If it produces 30, 60, or 100-fold, you know what's the population of this country? It's like 50-something million, give or take the illegal immigrants. It's not 60 million yet. Now, if that seed would produce 30 times, it will be half our nation. If it produces 60 times, it is the whole nation. If it produces 100 times, it is the Southern Africa. Then we have Zimbabwe and Bob and almal ook saved. Voordat hy gaan, waartoe ook al hy gaan. But you understand what I mean? Or maybe 199, well, anyway. Okay? Just think about that for a moment. I all of a sudden realized that this harvest was not bread, it was seed that was sown back into this nation. And if that seed reproduces 30, 60, 100-fold, this nation would be saved. Can a nation be born in a day? Is anything too hard for me? Your wisdom is higher than ours. Your ways are different than our ways. But if that is your will, O God, to sow seed, then God, we better pray for that seed to germinate. Well, how many people were there? Can you just stand quickly? Who was there? Just quickly stand. Okay, 30 or 60 or 100 of these people, please, per person. If you get them to pray. I mean, and I all of a sudden realized, you know what, can God change the nation in a day? The answer is yes, He can. If we simply believe and we're willing to get into the wheelbarrow, there's no risk at praying. Eh? We were coming back, Arthur here in the church, God spoke to him and said, you must take up, always say a quantum, it's not a quantum, it's a Reynolds, what? I don't know what it is, very nice, but anyway. It's an 8-seater. So God spoke to him and said he must take up his vehicle and he must fill it with pastors. So he asked me to arrange the pastors. So, you know, from the Dutch Reformed minister in Onrus to Robert Nutt in Mount Pleasant and Horsten and Suwelihle, we were two whiteys, two coloreds, and two blacks pastors. So we went up together. We had a great time together. And coming back, we were starting to speak about, okay, now what now? What now? Now, we are pastors. We're going back to our churches. So what now? And we were talking about the crime and the violence and the hopelessness and the social economic despair and how we are going to get the communities together and how we're going to solve the crime and the poverty in our community. And we were talking about all this, what we can do. And we have great vision and you know, great plans. And then we started to talk to each other from the different communities. What are the challenges there? And they started to tell us, you know, the division politically, religiously, churches, inside churches, outside of churches, the extent of the problem of having your own family part of the smokkelhuise and the gangs, and you don't want your own children to go to prison. So everybody knows who is involved. Everybody knows who's the gang leaders. Everybody knows what the smokkelhuise is. Everybody knows that. That's not your challenge. But so we were kind of debating through all this, how can we help the police and the community coming together because we're the church and we're bridge builders. And we were talking about it. And all of a sudden I realized, you know what? And we were talking about how difficult it's going to be and how much it's going to cost, because you can't just tell people to stop doing crime. You have to produce for them something else. You've got to create work. So there must be employment for people to leave this, to do that. And we were talking about it, and it's going to, well, how are we going to do this, and how much is going to cost, and how are you going to get all the people? And then all of a sudden I realized, you know what? That's not what we're called to do. I'm not a policeman. I'm a pastor. I'm a churchman. I'm a child of God. You know what we do? We get people saved. That's what we're meant to do as church. We are not a community policing forum. We are not a welfare organization. And I'm not saying the church shouldn't get involved in welfare and in security and all those things. And we don't have a role to play bringing communities together and opportunities. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm saying we should do that. But you know what? If we, the police, I cannot do the police job and think I'm going to do a better job. They are called to find the guys and catch them and wait for them to make a mistake and catch them. What is our job as church? And I realized, and we were speaking, I said, guys, but you know what? Actually, what we mean to do is we mean to get the guys saved. So instead of trying to get the gang leader caught, we must actually get him saved. You see, the police's job is to catch him. Our job is to get him saved. So what if we put all our effort and stuff and start to identify them, but not to catch them? Let's identify them and then pray for them by name. What if we can identify all the gang leaders and distribute their names among all the churches and say, you take that guy and we take this guy, and we see who gets them first into church. And we're going to have a great competition over who gets more gang leaders in their church. I mean, that's what we're called to do. And I went to the police on the Monday. It was my turn to share with them. And the commander and everyone, I said to them, I said, you know, guys, I'm sorry for criticizing you, but we've discovered something. We realized our job is to get them saved and your job is to catch them. So we'll have a competition. How many you can catch and how many we can get into church and see who wins. Because that's what we're called to do. I mean, that's the power of prayer. And I've realized, you know what? If you get the gang leader caught, you will be replaced by somebody else. But if you could get the gang leader saved, he's going to get at least half his gang saved. So is it possible that we as church, that includes you, start to pray not just for the gang leaders, but, you know,
I won't name names. But the guy from Cash Cows, he decided, no, he's going to make an invitation to all his employees that whoever wants to go to the Angus prayer can go, and they will provide the transport there. You'll give him off from work, and you can go, and I'll go with you.
Now that's huge. Imagine all the businesses in Hermanus decides, okay guys, Angus called us for prayer. Everybody can take off if they want to, and we'll provide transport to get you there and back. I mean, hello? So let's not just pray for the gang leaders. Let's pray for more guys like that. Let's pray for the big business guys, companies, shop owners, that they get saved and committed. I mean, let's pray for the guys that, you know, owns half the property in town and tell him, listen, you know, all the businesses that you own, that people rent from you, let's pray for their salvation. And when they're saved, we can even tell them, don't tithe, man. You know what you can do is just bring your rent down with 10% for all the businessmen so that the businesses can flourish and not close down, so that their businesses can grow and they can employ more people. I mean, that's a way you can change communities. Let's just not just pray for the gang leaders, but let's pray for the businessmen and the landowners, you know, and the farmers. Let's pray for the politicians to get saved. You understand? Let's start praying. My point is, let's start praying. Let's start being specific and pray for God to change our community and change our land. If we can mobilize like that, I think things will start to change. After all, we've been given the keys. So, practically. What are we going to do? Well, I've been thinking, and I haven't been talking to many people yet, but I've been thinking. Sorry, my love. You'll hear this the first time also. I've been thinking. I normally first speak to my wife because she is more... She's like the Holy Spirit. But we already have prayer on Sundays before church. I want to invite you to come to that. Before church, if you can come an hour, half an hour, 15 minutes before the time. The guys are praying. Just there. If it gets too small, we'll make a plan. That's one place we can start praying. I'm going to start a WhatsApp group. For those of you that want to pray, it's a one-way communication where we will communicate what needs to be prayed for. And if you have a response, you can contact me or the office or Anneri with what the Lord has laid on your heart. And we will discern what to communicate to everybody. So we don't want it a two-way kind of everybody sends nice pictures. But rather, if God does speak to you while you're praying, communicate to us personally. Communicate to me. Send me the pictures. And I will decide which picture to put on the group. Is that okay? So we're going to start a WhatsApp. We'll call it, I don't know, It's Time Prayer. How's that? WhatsApp group. If you want to be part of the prayer, please join. Let us know. Phone the office, phone me, phone Christopher, phone Anneri. Say, I want to be part of the WhatsApp group. Anneri doesn't know about it yet, but she'll know. And then send your name and number, and we will communicate. I think another thing that we can do is Tuesday mornings, 6 o'clock, we're going to pray. If you can make it or not, it doesn't matter. We're going to pray Tuesday mornings, 6 o'clock. Okay? Where's Kopi? Okay? If you can't make it to the top, we'll have a shuttle service. Aubrey and Anna Grootmanne. We will carry you there. Okay? But 6 o'clock, Tuesday mornings, on Wesa Kopi. If it rains, okay, we'll be here, a church. If it doesn't rain, Wesa Kopi. Rain, here. Okay? 6 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. We're going to pray. Coming Tuesday, why not? Let's start coming. Is it okay, my love? My wife says it's fine. Tuesday. Okay. This coming, voice copy, rain, yeah. Simples. Okay? Every Tuesday. We're going to pray. We're not going to pray for hours. We're just going to pray. And we're going to see what happens. Okay? And we're going to continually pray until we see God moves in this nation and in our community. And we might have names, and we're going to pray for those names. And I hope your name is not on it. So, But anyway, my wife says, yeah, good, right. I'm going to stop. We're going to pray. Is that all right? Good. Turn to the person next to you, and we're going to conclude the meeting. So, we're going to pray. God, please give me faith for prayer. Help me to get into the wheelbarrow and pray. Amen? Pray to one another. And then I'll conclude. Yes. The men is coming together on Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. Once a month, yeah. Free ad. Thank you, Pat, for the men's ministry. First, last Saturday of every month, we're coming together. But this Saturday, we are meeting here. Also at 6 o'clock. Huh? Yes. Is it 6? Is it 6 o'clock, Pat? 6 o'clock. Okay, but now let's pray. 2-2. Or 3-3. It's okay. God won't judge you. Everybody get somebody to pray. Faith in prayer and a commitment to pray. And if you can't make it, pray at home. Yes, Father, we want to thank you that we can come together in your name and we can call on you as our Father and we can ask according to your will and know that you hear us and know whatever and whenever you hear us, you give our requests. And Father, this morning we come together and we want to pray according to your will to see this town saved. Lord, to see people in this town being exposed to the gospel, respond to the gospel, and lives transformed. And God, we want to bring ourselves as tools in your hand, as vessels. Father, and we want to pray. We want to pray for your will, Lord. We want to pray that you will reveal it to us and that we will have faith that you are able to do what you have called us to do and what you want to do, Father, and that we will be partakers with you in this great harvest of seeing the lost coming in. So, Lord, I pray not just for us to pray and for churches to pray, God. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of souls, Lord. We want to see gang leaders, Lord, businessmen, politicians, plumbers, electricians, pastors, teachers, Lord, doctors, Lord. We want to see everybody saved, God, because this is going to change the nation, Lord. We want so many people changed, Lord. I'm not even going to use the word revival. Lord, I want to have so many people saved in this town, like in Scotland, like in Wales, when you did bring a revival that the police had so little to do that they had to form choirs to keep themselves busy. God, I pray for bored policemen. Lord, I pray for police choirs, Father, that will keep them busy because the criminals are all saved. And the hopeless has found you, and you have provided, and you have given hope and future. Lord, we want to thank you that salvation not just changes spiritually, it changes emotionally, it changes physically, and you are able to provide and to care for your people, Lord. So we pray for this town to be saved, because that's the only answer. At the end of the day, what we need is you, because in you is everything. So we want to pray for that, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.